coming. We wait for new life. We wait in our despairing. We wait through the strife. But how long? How long? How much longer must we wait? How long? How long? How much longer must we wait?
How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own wits, agony filling my heart? Daily? How long will my enemy keep defeating me? Look at me. Answer me, Lord my God. Restore sight to my eyes. Otherwise, I'll sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I won. My foes will rejoice over my downfall, but I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Yes, I will sing to the Lord because the Lord has been good to me.
Lord, we are forsaken. We yearn to be free. Sam said, change is gonna come, but right now we can't breathe. How long, how long, how much longer must we wait? How long, how long, how much longer must we wait?
Perfecting God, as we walk farther into your light and your word manifest more deeply within us, may we come to understand that absence is not always enough. The absence of hate is good, but the presence of love perfects what is good. The absence of evil is good, but the presence of righteousness perfects what is good. The absence of violence is good, but the presence of peace perfects what is good. The absence of scarcity is good, but the presence of abundance perfects what is good. The absence of discrimination is good, but the presence of justice perfects what is good. Transform us as only you can, perfecting God. Mold us. Make us after your will. While we are waiting, yielded and still. Amen.
Will you sing that chorus with me? How long, how long, how much longer must we wait?
How long, O Lord? How long? ever asked that question? Most of us have. They say into each life a little rain must fall. But the truth is that there are times when the rain becomes such a downpour that we're about to drown. How long, O Lord? Familiar words from the beginning of the 13th Psalm. One of those marvelous bits of biblical insight we have come to call the Psalms of Lament. Now, for what it's worth, almost half of the Psalms fall into that category. For that matter, laments are found not only in the book of Psalms, but are part and parcel of the biblical witness. Humanity cries out, God responds. And as you may know, there's even an Old Testament book called Lamentations. The ancient writers regularly express their deepest feelings. Words of praise at times. At others, there were heartfelt questions. Why, God? Why? If you look at the Psalms carefully, you'll see a pattern. They begin by naming God an intimate address. My God, why have you forsaken me? The situation is not being shared with a stranger. I mean, do we vent to someone we don't even know? Then there is a complaint. It tells God with some specifics what the matter is. It might even engage as much as a child would in attempting to get a parent's sympathetic attention. Oh God, this is the worst. Then comes the petition. What do you want God to do? And often it's phrased with an imperative, a demand. God, turn, deliver, save, comfort. In this, God's power is not in doubt, but perhaps God's attention to a particular problem. It follows with a word of motivation. Why should God bother? There might be appeals to virtue, precedent, honor, even divine vanity. Oh God, fix this so everyone will see how neat you are. In some laments, there's imprecation, which is a $3 word indicating hate or a desire for revenge. Oh God, get them. And finally, when the hurt or the anger is fully vented, something unexpected happens. The writer of Psalm here at the end is assured of being heard and dealt with bountifully. And that then is followed by a word of praise. With that in mind, listen again to Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? How long? The tortured question of the cancer sufferer after the most recent bouts of chemo that seemed to work. But suddenly the blood counts are saying that the cancer is back. Will you forget me forever? Asked the father who has done and done and done for his drug-addicted son after bailing him out of jail for the umpteenth time. How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? Cries the mother of the severely differently abled child who's done everything she could to provide compassionate care but now hears that her spouse wants a divorce. They are tired of being neglected. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Asked the young man who was victimized by a pedophile 20 years ago and even now is unable to trust anyone to love him. And every day have sorrow in my heart. Asked the mother in Harlem who's lost two sons in the never-ending drug wars. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Asked the young Palestinian who is the third generation to be forced to live in a refugee camp, despised this being the land of his ancestors for 100 generations. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God, says the union negotiator, who's looking for a fair bargain but only sees a management that does not care for anything but an inflated bottom line. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. Says the management negotiator, who only sees a union so intent on its own agenda that it's willing to risk the collapse of the company. Lord, this is killing me. Verse 4, my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall and say, I won. The anguished choir of an Israeli mother mourning her children lost in the blast of a Tel Aviv suicide bomber. The sounds of lament come from everywhere. Now we come to verses 5 and 6, and suddenly a change. We hear the psalmist say, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Here is the shift we spoke of earlier, read this way. My enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Sigh. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. In between verses 4 and 5, something changes. It is the arrival of hope born of memory. Yes, things are awful, but I can remember a time when we were not quite as awful. When God's care for me was much more evident. And I'm convinced that such a day will come again. It seems to me that the church, when it is at its best, lives life between verses 4 and 5. We hear that deep sigh when words cannot come. We hear the laments from both within and without as people feel free and safe to speak their anguish. And all by itself, that listening ears helps healing process, because we know, as psychotherapy has taught us, that there's something healing about voicing our pain. Between verses 4 and 5, tears are shed, because when the church is at its best, we rejoice with those who rejoice, but friends, we cry with those who cry. Between verses 4 and 5, we remember the despair of Good Friday that was answered by the delight of Easter. Between verses 4 and 5, we hear again Tony Campolo's wonderful phrase, it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. Between verses 4 and 5, it's where the church finds its most meaningful life. Sad to say, though, we're awfully good at promoting denial. See, we'd rather skip verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. For we say, how are you? Fine. Brendan and I have a rule with our niece Savannah, who always says, I'm fine, it's all fine. When clearly it's not all fine. The expected response, even when our hearts cry, is how long, O Lord, and life is going to hell in a handbasket, is I'm fine. In the wee hours of this morning, our time changed to daylight savings time. For many of us, but not all, but many of us, including me, it was a welcome change and what I look forward to every year. I was one of those cheering on the sidelines when a few years ago, daylight savings time was extended for a few months. Truth be told, if I had my way, we'd never change it back. I love longer days of daylight. December 21st, the darkest day of the year, is my least favorite. And on December 22nd of every year, I swear I can begin feeling that extra minute of daylight. It reminds me that sometimes we handle our life and we read this particular psalm like daylight savings time. We silently bear the pains, the disappointments, the hurt, the anger, the confusion. We silently bear the loneliness, the addiction, the shrinking bank account, or the relationship breaking to the point of no return. And we want to spring forward with our life. And while it is indeed necessary for us to keep moving, to keep taking positive steps, to do our part in getting out of our funk, whatever might be causing it, my friends, it's equally important to be able to admit where we are. And likewise, it's important for us to look around to others who are struggling and have justified reasons to lament, and for us to share their pain and help them move out of it if we can. A lot has happened in our individual lives and in our world since time took an hour step back. To refresh your memory and mine, time fell back last November the 6th. November the 6th. And longer, darker days began. In our nation, only 2 days later, we elected a new president. And no matter which side you were on or who you voted for in various elections, our nation, our state, indeed our local communities had drastic change. And it has divided us more than anyone who studies sociology or national trends can remember. Admittedly, on November 9th, I wanted to spring forward about 4 years and 2 months. But you know, in retrospect, I realize that's impossible. Our democracy works in ways that sometimes we are on the winning side and sometimes we are on the losing side. And so wherever we find ourselves, the most important thing we can do is continue to stand for what we believe in. To live our lives with integrity and intentionality, and to be involved. To show up, dive in, and stay at it. In the words of our former president. And the beauty of that advice, my friends, is that it is nonpartisan. And I'd go further. The beauty of President Obama's statement is that it supersedes any religion, any culture, or ideology. For what we're called to follow is our conscience, and not live our lives just hanging out and taking up room. I wanted to spring forward only 2 days after the time changed. But not only was that impossible, but when I think about it, I think about what I would have missed in these 19 or so weeks. Just 5 days after our clocks moved back an hour, we gathered to celebrate the life of our beloved Miss Hattie. As difficult as it was to lose her, which we did on Sunday, November 6th, when time went back, and our life as a church became a little darker that day. But we're grateful she did not have prolonged suffering. We know Miss Hattie. And we know that she went on to her eternal home just as she would have prayed and wished for it to be. As we gathered in the dark days of November, in a unique and powerful way, I want you to think about this. An open and affirming, liberal, United Church of Christ congregation with a lesbian minister presiding over the funeral of an African-American church matriarch in perhaps the oldest, predominantly white Catholic congregation in Lexington. Stew on that for a minute or two. Had I sprung forward, I would have missed that experience. And so would you have. I wanted to spring forward back in November because just the first week of that darkness was overwhelming to me. But had I sprung forward, I would have missed the baby blessing and dedication of our sweet Willa Sage Bemis just a couple weeks later in November. and I would have missed our first immersion baptism just last Sunday of Caleb Gray as his true, authentic self. Had we sprung forward too early, friends, we would have missed the sharing of Advent and Christmas and the lessons our own Scrooge taught us. We would have missed the installation of our new associate minister, as well as three new elders and church council. See if I had sprung forward past long winter days, I would have missed Mary and two of my dear friends, Ann and Kathy, who have different politics, but share years of deep and loyal love for one another. And that, my friends, will preach. And that has taught me some lessons that I needed to learn. Had I sprung past November 6th through today, I would not have experienced the Women's March in Lexington with many of you, inspired by your commitment to justice and watching as Stephen and Liz pushed Miss Elnora in a wheelchair through that crowd. I would have missed meeting other leaders in our community and launching an initiative to have Lexington chartered as a compassionate city. Stay tuned for that, friends. I would have missed being welcomed as a new board member and getting to know folks who give time, energy, and expertise to perform free outpatient surgeries on one Sunday a month, surgery on Sundays that happens right here in Lexington. Had I fast-forwarded from November 6th through today, I would have missed participating as a board member of Just Fund Kentucky, who's given over $200,000 to over 50 statewide organizations who continue to advocate for LGBTQ equality in education. Had I missed these past months of darkness, I would have missed the incredible interfaith experiences led and organized by our good friend J.R. Zerkowski. And I would have missed new friendships with clergy across faith traditions committed to peace and justice and understanding and respect for our different paths to the divine. I would have missed these encounters. Now, in truth, I would have missed some things that would have been okay with me. The continuing battle with breast cancer of my dear sister-in-law. The recurring cancer of one of our best friends and BUC member, Peggy. Challenges related to family and friends and, yeah, even a church challenge here and there. So just like the psalmist, my friends, there have been some dark days, some long days. Some heavy days. And yet, the good news for the writer of Psalm 13 and the good news for us is that no matter what, God is with us, especially in the midst of pain or struggle. God's presence is with us to remind us of God's love and to sustain us until we find ourselves on the other side. Sometimes it's on the other side of a life challenge or a circumstance or a health condition. And sometimes it's on the other side of life. As people of faith, we can lament and still find comfort in the dark days, and we can learn lessons, and we can make a difference in our life and the life of others. Think not. Remember this past week, as we have grieved the loss of two precious lives close to our bluegrass family, Clancy and Margaret. In those dark days, we also rallied together to give love and food and care to well over 250 people, many of whom had never been to our church. And let me tell you, I heard their comments. They said, "I've never seen anything like y'all." Isn't it comforting and reassuring and liberating to know that we can sing, as we did a bit earlier in today's service, I need you every hour. And move into shout to the Lord. Because God is good. And God is there all the time. We can be transformed even in the darkest days. Even between November the 6th and March the 12th. And we can. And we should, my brothers and sisters, make a difference in that transformation from I need you every hour to shout to the Lord. How long? Well, no matter how long, the days or the circumstance, God is ever present. That we can be sure of.